The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 16, The Divine Shakti, mid-page 756. The ordinary power by which we govern the pranic energy is that of the embodied mind. But when we get clear above the physical mind, we can get too above the pranic force, to the consciousness of a pure mental energy, which is a higher formulation of the Shakti. There we are aware of a universal mind consciousness closely associated with this energy in, around, and above us. Above, that is to say, the level of our ordinary mind status, giving all the substance and shaping, all the forms of our will and knowledge, and of the psychic element in our impulses and emotions. This mind force can be made to act upon the pranic energy and can impose upon it the influence, color, shape, character, direction of our ideas, our knowledge, our more enlightened volition, and thus, more effectively, bring our life and vital being into harmony with our higher powers of being, ideals, and spiritual aspirations. In our ordinary state, these two, the mental and the pranic being and energies, are very much mixed up and run into each other, and we are not able clearly to distinguish them or get a full hold of the one on the other, and so control effectively the lower by the higher and more understanding principle. But when we take our station above the physical mind, we are able then to separate clearly the two forms of energy, the two levels of our being, disentangle their action, and act with a clearer and more potent self-knowledge and an enlightened and a pure willpower. Nevertheless, the control is not complete, spontaneous, sovereign, so long as we work with the mind as our chief guiding and controlling force. The mental energy we find to be self-derivative, a lower and limiting power of the conscious spirit which acts only by isolated and combined seeings, imperfect and incomplete half-lights, which we take for full and adequate light, and with a disparity between the idea and knowledge and the effective willpower. And we are aware soon of a far higher power of the spirit and its Shakti, concealed or above, superconscient to mind, or partially acting through the mind, of which all this is an inferior derivation. The Purusha and Prakriti are on the mental level, as in the rest of our being, closely joined and much involved in each other, and we are not able to distinguish clearly soul and nature. But in the purer substance of mind, we can more easily discern the dual strain. The mental Purusha is naturally able, in its own native principle of mind, to detach itself, as we have seen, from the workings of its Prakriti, and there is then a division of our being between a consciousness that observes and can reserve its willpower, and an energy full of the substance of consciousness that takes the forms of knowledge, will, and feeling. This detachment gives, at its highest, a certain freedom from the compulsion of the soul by its mental nature. For ordinarily, we are driven and carried along in the stream of our own and the universal active energy, partly floundering in its waves, partly maintaining, and seeming to guide or at least propel ourselves, by a collected thought and an effort of the mental will muscle. But now there's a part of ourselves nearest to the pure essence of self, which is free from the stream, can quietly observe and to a certain extent decide its immediate movement and course, and to a greater extent its ultimate direction. The Purusha can at last act upon the Prakriti from half apart, from behind, or from above her, as a presiding person or presence, Adhyaksha, by the power of sanction and control inherent in the spirit. What we shall do with this relative freedom depends on our aspiration, our idea of the relation we must have with our highest self, with God and nature. It is possible for the Purusha to use it on the mental plane itself for a constant self-observation, self-development, self-modification, to sanction, reject, alter, bring out new formulations of the nature, and establish a calm and disinterested action, a high and pure sattvic balance and rhythm of its energy, a personality perfected in the sattvic principle. This may amount only to a highly mentalized perfection of our present intelligence and the ethical and the psychic being, or else, aware of the greater self in us, it may impersonalize, universalize, spiritualize its self-conscious existence and the action of its nature, and arrive either at a large quietude or a large perfection of the spiritualized mental energy of its being. It is possible again for the Purusha to stand back entirely and by a refusal of sanction allow the whole normal action of the mind to exhaust itself, run down, spend its remaining impetus of habitual action, and fall into silence. Or else, this silence may be imposed on the mental energy by rejection of its action, and a constant command to quietude. The soul may, through the confirmation of this quietude and mental silence, pass into some ineffable tranquility of the spirit and vast cessation of the activities of nature. But it is also possible to make this silence of the mind and ability to suspend the habits of the lower nature a first step towards the discovery of a superior formulation, a higher grade of the status and energy of our being, and pass by an ascent and transformation into the supramental power of the spirit. And this may even, though with more difficulty, be done without resorting to the complete state of quietude of the normal mind by a persistent and progressive transformation of all the mental into their greater corresponding supramental powers and activities. For everything in the mind derives from and is a limited, inferior, groping, partial, or perverse translation into mentality of something in the supermind. But neither of these movements can be successfully executed by the sole individual unaided power of the mental Purusha in us, but needs the help, intervention, and guidance of the Divine Self, the Ishwara, the Purushottama. For the supermind is the divine mind, and it is on the supramental plane that the individual arrives at his right, integral, luminous, and perfect relation with the Supreme and Universal Purusha and the Supreme and Universal Para-Prakriti. As the mind progresses in purity, capacity of stillness, or freedom from absorption in its own limited action, it becomes aware of and is able to reflect, bring into itself, or enter into the conscious presence of the Self, the Supreme and Universal Spirit. And it becomes aware, too, of grades and powers of the Spirit higher than its own highest ranges. It becomes aware of an infinite of the consciousness of being, an infinite ocean of all the power and energy of illimitable consciousness, an infinite ocean of Ananda, of the self-moved delight of existence. It may be aware of one or other only of these things, for the mind can separate and feel exclusively as distinct original principles what in a higher experience are inseparable powers of the One. Or it may feel them in a trinity or fusion which reveals or arrives at their oneness. It may become aware of it on the side of Purusha or on the side of Prakriti. On the side of Purusha, it reveals itself as Self or Spirit, as Being, or as the one sole existent being, the divine Purushottama. And the individual Jiva soul can enter into entire oneness with it in its timeless self, or in its universality, or enjoy nearness, immanence, difference without any gulf of separation, and enjoy too, inseparably, and at one and the same time, oneness of being, and delight-giving difference of relation in active experiencing nature. On the side of Prakriti, the power and Ananda of the Spirit come into the front to manifest this infinite in the beings and personalities and ideas and forms and forces of the universe. And there is then present to us the divine Mahashakti, original power, supreme nature, holding in herself infinite existence and creating the wonders of the cosmos. The mind grows conscious of this illimitable ocean of Shakti, or else of her presence high above the mind, and pouring something of herself into us to constitute all that we are and think and will and do and feel and experience, or it is conscious of her all around us, and our personality a wave of the ocean of power of Spirit, or of her presence in us, and of her action there based on our present form of natural existence, but originated from above, and raising us towards the higher spiritual status. The mind, too, can rise towards and touch her infinity, or merge itself in it in trance of samadhi, or can lose itself in her universality, and then our individuality disappears. Our center of action is then no longer in us, but either outside our bodied selves or nowhere. Our mental activities are then no longer our own, but come into this frame of mind, life, and body from the universal, work themselves out and pass, leaving no impression on us. And this frame of ourselves, too, is only an insignificant circumstance in her cosmic vastness. But the perfection sought in the integral yoga is not only to be one with her in her highest spiritual power, and one with her in her universal action, but to realize and possess the fullness of this Shakti in our individual being and nature. For the Supreme Spirit is one, as Purusha or as Prakriti, conscious being or power of conscious being, and as the Jiva in essence of self and spirit, is one with the Supreme Purusha. So, on the side of nature, in power of self and spirit, it is one with Shakti. Para Prakritir Jiva Bhuta. To realize this double oneness is the condition of the integral perfection. The Jiva is then the meeting place of the play of oneness of the Supreme Soul and nature. To reach this perfection, we have to become aware of the divine Shakti, draw her to us, and call her in to fill the whole system and take up the charge of all our activities. There will then be no separate personal will or individual energy trying to conduct our actions. No sense of a little personal self as the doer, nor will it be the lower energy of the three gunas, the mental, vital, and physical nature. The divine Shakti will fill us and preside over and take up all our inner activities, our outer life, our yoga. She will take up the mental energy, her own lower formation, and raise it to its highest and purest and fullest powers of intelligence and will and psychic action. She will change the mechanical energies of the mind, life, and body, which now govern us, into delight-filled manifestations of her own living and conscious power and presence. She will manifest in us and relate to each other all the various spiritual experiences of which the mind is capable. And as the crown of this process, she will bring down the supramental light into the mental levels, change the stuff of mind into the stuff of supermind, transform all the lower energies into energies of her supramental nature, and raise us into our being of gnosis. The Shakti will reveal herself as the power of the Purushottama, and it is the Ishvara who will manifest himself in his force of supermind and spirit and be the master of our being, action, life, and yoga. End of chapter 16, The Divine Shakti, page 761.